This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome to the morning run. It is 6 o'clock on the 7th of May, and I've nearly forgotten what day it is. I'm Lynn Mark, and you're here as well with Julian Ng and Wong Xiaoning. Welcome to the studio, guys. Good morning.
Good morning, Lynn.
Happy Tuesday. Xiaoning.
Yeah, happy indeed.
And it's the first day we've had you in the studio this week, Julian. So how have you been doing?
I've been okay, actually. It's been a while. So I'm glad to be back.
Excellent. Now, how are we looking at, what kind of things are we looking to talk about today?
Well, I'm going to be talking about durians, whether you love it or hate it, but now it's set to take over the world.
Of course we love it. What's that it hates about durian?
I mean, you know, I actually only learned to like durian, I think, a couple of years ago. So it was definitely not a love it or hate it situation. I learned to like it. I don't really know why.
Yeah, I think it's a Musang King phenomenon. The whole world has caught on to that trend.
Yes, and what else are we looking at?
Well, the sleep aid industry in the US is worth $70 billion, and this is all to look for that elusive good night's sleep. And just for full disclosure, I'm actually quite sleepy now. So
clearly you don't need a sleep aid, Julian. In fact, we should be trying to keep you awake.
I do need a sleep aid, and that's exactly the reason why I'm sleepy now, because I couldn't sleep last night.
Okay. And to be clear, these are not just like medicated sleep aids, right? So these are things like what?
Like products, you know, that you can hide into.
Blankets.
Yes. Just to create the perfect sleep conditions.
Okay, interesting. So if you want to weigh in on the conversation, don't forget to WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back after this with our favourite part of the working world, emails. So stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was All These Things That I've Done by The Killers. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Julian Ng and Wong Xiaoning. Now, corporate emails, they are, I think, an unfortunate necessity of life in the working world. And GetPocket.com has some tips on how to get a more straightforward response from your recipients, particularly by making your own emails a lot more precise. Now, the author is former military, so that puts things in a little bit of perspective. So she highlights certain recommendations, like putting keywords in all caps in the subject line. So things like action, sign, info, to give your recipient a better idea of what responses are required. And I have to say, I quite like this idea, because I always find that corporate emails are couched in a lot of unnecessary fluff, basically.
Jargon. Yep, I think people just want to write a lot of words to make them look and sound important on an email, but actually at the end of the day, they're not saying a lot.
Yeah, it's not just important, it's fake intelligence.
Exactly. So I like the second one as well, and military people like to come up with acronyms very often, and they this one is called BLUF, B-L-U-F, bottom line upfront, which is a very good way of getting to the point. You basically put the conclusion of what you want to say on top, as the body of your message. Put it on top, and it's great, right? It's a great way of starting an email.
Yeah, so you start off with the bottom line, and then you filter into the background information and the reasoning for your bottom line, I guess. And it saves your recipient having to go through like 5 paragraphs of background and info and extraneous, you know, detail in order to get to the real point.
So I think people should talk like this in real life also. Bottom line, I like you. Bottom line, I don't like you. Walk away or something.
I don't think that's necessarily a bad
idea. I'm not sure that will work for us on radio, Julian. The show will be over very quickly.
Actually, though,
it would work on radio, because instead of going on and on about what we want to say at the end of the day, like, we just say it on top, right?
But then we are commentary radio, so, you know, I don't think that will necessarily work. But this article did remind me a little bit of some of the tips of radio writing that you learn, because one of them is that you have to write in active sentences, because it's more direct to the ear. And as well, it's more direct when you're reading it, because rather than saying, I think the example that was given in the article was, this place was bombed by an F-18. You just say the F-18 bombed
the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
She says, be economical, the writer. I like that. You know, exactly what you'll say. Less is more.
Correct, yeah. And this would make emails so much more pleasure to read. In fact, I love emails, actually, in spite of your initial doubts about it, Lynn.
Really?
Because I think email allows you to shut people off, especially when you use Gmail. There is that muting and silencing function, I think, on Gmail. And it allows you to actually organize. You can archive your message. You can star them to revisit important emails that you mm-hmm. want to work on. You don't have that urgency of, you can classify the urgencies of the email so that you don't have to reply some people immediately.
In other words, you can just ignore them.
Yeah. A lot of times you can, right? Because a lot of these emails don't have a point.
Which is true. Sometimes you get so many emails, you wonder where to begin in the first place.
With the delete button.
Yeah, it's true. So my inbox has currently, I think, over 6,000 unread emails. And
there you go.
It's gotten to the point where I'm just going to mass delete all of them.
Yeah, exactly. And do you know what is the other side of this? This other evil side of it, right? People are using WhatsApp in the style of an email. So they cut and paste this, or they type out this huge message and put it on WhatsApp, which is even worse, which really breaks every rule that this article is recommending, because there's no efficient and convenient way of reading an email-style message on WhatsApp. So people should stop doing that, right? Putting long messages on WhatsApp.
That's because you can have the WhatsApp function on your computer, you know. So people type really, really long ones, I noticed. But if you're just using it on the phone, then the messages get much shorter.
Ah, right. Okay, the web-based mm-hmm. WhatsApp, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people cut and paste just
yes.
the entire
yes.
message.
So I'm guilty of this, Julian. But also, it's also the fact that I personally find it, I guess, tidier to see one long message rather than have, when people are typing on their phones, sometimes they get a little bit too excited by the enter button. So you will get half a sentence in one message and then another half a sentence in another message, and it irritates me.
Ah, okay.
So I would rather have it all. If you're going to be sending me a lot of information via WhatsApp, I would rather it all be in one email, in one message. Yeah, so that's why I do it to other people.
So I know this is digressing slightly because we're talking about email, but I want to talk about WhatsApp also. Do you know that there is a voice-to-text function, and it's extremely useful because it's really a productivity tool. You save so much time, and it's actually pretty good because when you talk into it, it mm-hmm. really types out whatever that you're saying.
It doesn't come out as garbage.
Yeah.
Actually,
so the voice technology is getting better and better.
It is, and I actually find that when I'm using a voice-to-text function, in my head, I'm laying it all out a lot clearer than I would if I was just actively texting it out. I don't know what that is. I think that because there's that extra layer of communication.
It's more free flow, right?
It's not as free flow for
me.
Yeah.
Oh, not as free flow.
I'm more structured when I'm using a voice to text than when I'm just texting.
What do you think about the voice to voice? You know, you get these people recording.
I don't like that.
And then they play it and the whole room can hear their conversation.
I don't like that. Yeah, because there's no visual advantage of holding that person to their words. You want to come back to those words and say, hey, you said this previously, right?
But now it's on, like, recorded. It's there, right?
And it takes up memory space.
It's for dinner at 5. And I'm like, oh,
it's very useful in traffic situations, but that's where the voice-to-text mm-hmm. comes in as well.
But I think it's not. I still think it's not very efficient. So I would still prefer to kind of employ these kinds of techniques. You know, short emails, crisp sentences, getting to the point, not to bury the lead, as I think one of our producers puts it. So let us know what you think. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be coming back with another favorite subject of ours, which is sleep. So stay tuned to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Julian Ng and Wong Xiaoning. And that was Working Class Hero by John Lennon. I suppose it's fitting that that we should be talking about sleep aids, since that was BFM's very own free sleep aid for you. No, John Lennon's songs are very nice, but that was a little bit sleepy for 6 o'clock in the morning.
John Lennon's a hero, come on.
He's an icon.
Okay.
But the song is a bit sleepy, I have to confess.
There we go. Okay, and of course sleep is, I think, one of our favourite pastimes, but it can play a little bit hard to get. In the US, one third of Americans has experienced periods of insomnia, and a tenth sleep poorly more than three nights a week. And so from this article by Fast Company, it says that sleep aids is actually a nearly $70 billion industry now, and it's predicted to cross the $100 billion mark in 2023. Now, this is talking not just about a medication, it's also considering things like low-tech sleep aids, so weighted blankets or ostrich pillows, you know, pillows that essentially block out the rest of the world. And I have to say, I wouldn't mind one of those just to take a nap in the office.
Yeah, I'm buying into the whole sleep aid sleep aid thing of the past few years, but I'm getting scared. I'm just wondering whether this is a kind of scare tactic to make a spend, because this has been a recent phenomenon, right? With all those books that are written on how if you don't get enough sleep, you will die, right? And so a lot of people are getting scared right now. They want to get their full 8 hours a night sleep. And I, for one, I recently, over the years, I have been finding it very challenging to get my good night's sleep as well. So I myself am buying into these kind of ideas.
I don't think it's a scare tactic so much as maybe more research is being done on the detrimental effects of not getting enough sleep.
So we know more about this now, and we're getting more worried, right? But all these problems have been around for a very long time, and people have been surviving on it, but they did not spend $100 billion buying into sleep aid. Perhaps maybe now the thing is changing, transforming itself from medication in past, like sleeping pills and so on in past, and now for more natural aids.
Yeah, Julie, maybe the worry of not sleeping is creating, it's got its own anxiety, right?
Yeah, the sleep industrial complex.
Yeah, but I think these apps, some of them sound quite harmless. I mean, they're not cheap, but why not gravity blanket? Think about that. I mean,
it's very interesting because a gravity blanket is like something that puts slight pressure,
weight on you,
and that's supposed to be comforting, and it's used by a lot of people with psychological problems.
Yes, especially those soldiers with post-war trauma. Apparently helps them. I guess it's kind of this nice feeling of comfort and warmth and weight on top of you, and then maybe you just drowse off.
Yeah, I've seen research to suggest that it's supposed to emulate like almost like a swaddle, you know, when you're a
child.
You're
in the womb, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. So it's to convey that sense of security of being held, I guess.
But what's in colder countries, not in Malaysia? It probably gets too warm.
I mean,
warm.
We have air conditioning.
You just put it down to 19, Julian. 19 Celsius.
19, right? Yeah. I thought the recommended was 25.
No, actually, they recommended something like 21, 22 degrees.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
But I think there are other gadgets. I am like you. I have a bit of insomnia. I find it hard to switch off. And I bought this gadget on Amazon called the Lectro Fan. Have you all heard of it?
Lectro.
Oh, yeah. It's like white noise, right?
Yes. So it has this white noise emitter. And when I bought it, I was like, would it work? It looks like nothing, right? But it does. So why not?
Well, just switch on your aircon, right? The drone of the aircon would probably...
No, this is more sophisticated than that because it doesn't emit just one...
So Amazon wants you to think.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you say more sophisticated, maybe you just bought into the marketing gimmick, Xiaoning.
Okay, maybe I'm guilty of it, you know. But there are other things like apps. There are free apps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which are pretty good.
White noise apps. Although I think the earphones or whatever would get in the way, would wake you up a few hours later anyway. So it doesn't really work unless you get that ambient white noise. Mm-hmm. Then it would work. I think my obsession is darkness. I think complete darkness is very good for sleeping.
Yeah, I prefer blackout curtains personally, particularly also because we sleep at somewhat odd hours here on the morning run. So I sleep sometimes when the sun is still in the sky. So I definitely need darkness in order to trick my brain into thinking that it's going to sleep. But so coming back to the point you made earlier, Julian, about maybe people are more aware of people used to have these problems in the past and they survived. I think one of these things that's driving this billion dollar sleep aid industry, which Fast Company points out also, is what they call the anxiety economy. It's that people are more aware of their mental health nowadays, and they're willing to spend on these low-tech sleep gadgets in order to try and mitigate their any mental health issues that they might be facing or even prevent them. There's also the more awareness now that gadgets, so sleep apps, may not necessarily help you get to sleep, because when you have a screen in front of you, I know I certainly do, when I have a screen in front of me, I just don't sleep.
Well, you just leave the app there. You don't actually necessarily put it in front of you. But, you know, I get the point about anxiety, the anxieties that exist in the world today. I mean, we are so stressed out. And I think sleep is the catch-all, all-encompassing reflection or representation of whether you have good holistic health or not.
Okay, let us know what you think. Do you have trouble sleeping? And if so, what do you do? WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next is Alanis Morissette with Hand in My Pocket. And after that, the 6:30 news. So stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. You're listening to The Morning Run. And that was Eric Clapton with It's in the Way That You Use It. And you're here with Lynn, Julian and Xiaoning. And we're going to be talking about our very own homegrown royalty, i.e. the king of fruits, the durian. So,
for a moment there, I thought you were talking about something else.
I don't know what you could be referring to, Julian. Now, so the durian is set to take over the world. This is on new interest from China. And we hear a lot of complaints about local prices going up as a result of the fruits, you know, grown here being exported to China. And of course, another side effect of that is that we are seeing a wider variety of durian related products, and this was something highlighted by the South China Morning Post.
Yeah, you know, my favorite topic whenever we talk about durian is that I believe there are no longer anywhere in the world local products, because when you come up with a good product, if we can call it that, like the durian, it's going to be discovered by the rest of the world, and then you would have to export, and then it would become a global product, and therefore this relates to your personal inflation, right? Because you will never be able to escape from how global prices will drive your lifestyle and will drive your personal spending. So durian is a prime example of that. Durian is not charged on local pricing. It's going to be expensive because it's exported.
So it becomes a commoditized product in a way with a global price.
And when you sell to the Chinese, they will bid the prices up. Durian is it's so expensive to consume durian, even here in Malaysia.
Yeah, so there are some statistics in the SCMP article that showed the price of durian between 2013 and 2018 more than doubled per kilo. So that was from $1.2 per kilo in 2013 to $2.4 last year. And volume has, in terms of million kilos exported to China and Hong Kong, has largely remained the same. So it makes me wonder what was the reason for the price spike in the past couple of years if we've been exporting roughly the same amount of durian to China and Hong Kong.
Well, it's a fruit, so I guess it depends on the weather conditions, what the supply was like that year. I mean, there have been times when durians, I think 2 years ago, were incredibly cheap. There was this huge glut.
Glut, yeah.
Yeah, and you could get, even for like the kampung durian, 3 for $10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember at the time the Musang King was selling at something like 30 to 40 ringgit per kilo, which is half its normal price of 70 to 80 per kilo. And even when you go to some, you know, far-flung place in the rural area like Trolak or something, or Raum, right, to get your durians, it's the same price as KL, right? They don't give you a discount over there.
Yeah, not much of a discount, but the quality there is better when you go to these small
towns. I'm not
towns.
Sure.
Yeah. You find that the fruit isn't as moist. There's no condensation because traveling will cause condensation in the durian.
Yes. And, you know, the pricing has also encouraged like fake products, because there's fake
durian.
Fake Musang King right now. They're not really Musang King. They're just being flogged off as Musang King. And also, people are today using more and more preservatives, artificial fertilizers and so on, which is really bad for health. And so there is that organic version and the non-organic version, pushing up prices even further.
And there's also the fact that durian-flavoured things is becoming a little bit more trendy, yeah. right? So you're probably starting to see artificial flavourings coming into the market when you're talking about like things like durian crepes or durian pizzas, which
durian
is another
pizza.
Thing
oh my goodness.
That the article added.
There is durian bak kut teh.
I have heard of this. Where you put the durian in the bak kut teh, right?
And there's durian hot pot.
No, that's just wrong.
No, but it's in the article. Okay, I've confessed, I've never tried it.
I don't want to.
I just can't imagine, you know, you're sitting there and then you put your fish balls into this durian hot pot. It has to be kind of a bit strange, right?
It's wrong.
I think, have you tried durian with... It's wrong.
It's just wrong.
Don't
it's an abomination.
Some people may like it, Julian. You can't, you know, fault them
perhaps.
For taste. I think have you also tried a durian with sambal? That's a
no.
thing I've heard of.
I mean, I've tried
well.
All the durian.
I love tempoyak, though.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is usually eaten with some sambal of some sort.
Okay. But have you guys gone to eat durian recently? Have you seen
no.
the prices,
it's
the prices
a lot.
Go up?
It's like $70, $80 sometimes, as much as that. 60.
You're talking about Musang King,
Musang
right?
King, yeah. You know, you've got these huge stalls in PJ, right?
Yeah.
But are
like
you
almost like a factory.
Yeah, but are you going to the huge stalls? Are you going to, are they kind of the small roadside stalls? Have you seen a difference?
The price actually isn't that much different if you're talking about Musang King to Musang King, right? I think that like what Julian says, all the prices have been commoditized. There's like it's about there plus
it's like
minus 10%.
It's like a perfect
10%.
Competition, perfect market.
Yeah, and there are these people who have got websites. Have you seen them? Durian sellers with their website.
Really?
No,
yeah.
I've not seen
And you
them.
Can go into the website and he will tell you today what they have and what is the price.
Also, even the roadside durian sellers are kind of jumping on the e-commerce bandwagon.
Exactly.
I think what Bursa Malaysia should do is what they have done with the palm oil, which is to set up an exchange for this so that people will have more price discovery mechanisms and price transparency for durian. So we know the prices, right, before getting duped into buying very, very expensive durians. And durian chendol is very expensive.
Durian chendol is very nice, though.
Very good, but also very expensive because all you get is one dollop of durian and you're paying top dollar for that.
Okay, well, tell us what you think. Have you found durian prices increased recently? Would you try durian pizza for that matter? WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. And we'll be right back with more stories after this. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Sheryl Crow with First Cut is the Deepest. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Julian Ng and Wong Xiaoning. Thanks for all your messages this morning. We've received quite a few WhatsApps and tweets over our discussions on email sleep and our favourite subject, which is durian. So what have we got?
I have a message from Yasmin who says, yes, I do. I learned that the best thing for me was breathing exercises for sleep. I tried apps, music, bedtime yoga, exercise, but at the end, just focusing on my breathing and listening to my heartbeat is what worked best for me.
Sometimes I breathe, I focus on my breathing and I start hyperventilating and that's when I stay awake.
Oh no.
So we don't want to go there.
Actually, a trick I use to get to sleep sometimes is very fast repetitive songs. So like...
Really? I mean, that puts you to sleep?
Yeah, no. So I have a very good memory for lyrics and I listen to Hamilton so many times that I can sing practically all of it. So sometimes
Hamilton,
I just...
Hamilton the musical.
Hamilton the musical, because it's got a lot of words because it's a rap musical, essentially.
Okay.
And sometimes I just kind of run the lyrics through my head and I fall asleep before I've even finished one song.
It's her version of Counting Sheep.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, we also have a tweet from Observer, Othman Observer, who says, on the same subject, how do we sleep better at night? Do some really good exercises during the day. And it's true, actually. When you go out and you get some, you know, you get some sun, you get a bit of exercise, you do sleep better. It's just that we are all really sedentary people.
But don't do the exercise too late at night.
Yeah, because you increase your body temperature and you need a cooler body temperature to fall asleep.
Yeah, and you've got still adrenaline in your system.
Yeah. But I think what it means is that really your sleep preparation starts when you're awake. You know, it doesn't start like 15 minutes before you go to bed.
I guess that's why it's called sleep hygiene, right? This whole term.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. We got quite a lot of responses for the durian thing. Ikmal Fitri, very funny, he says that he loves pizza and he loves durian, but not the combo.
Yeah, and Chiang Chin Wei says, I will not go for Musang King. It's full of chemicals. I'd rather eat kampong durian. Actually, I'm with her. I like kampong durian.
Very sweet, though. Like, no, but, I like the kind of bittersweet of Musang King.
But the beauty of the kampong durian is every fruit tastes different.
Yeah, okay.
Versus the Musang King where it kind of tastes about the same.
Because
all the fruits.
Yeah, because the kampong durian is like organically grown, whereas yeah. we don't know what's been pumped into a Musang King, right?
Exactly. My wife just likes kampong durian because she thinks it's cute. Like, you can get these... small little cute kampong durian.
Food is a whole package, Julian.
I
so
know.
You know you have to appreciate the aesthetic of the thing as well.
Exactly.
What's wrong with a cute durian?
That's what Mahendra. There is a kopitiam in Raut Pahang famous for its Musang King coffee from their own farm. They also have roti canai Musang King and chendol Musang King, which is actually one of my favorites. Chendol and Musang King. What's not to like about it?
But do they have Musang King pizza? I think that would be my main question. I think that's something that they should definitely look into, branch into
some
that aspect.
Remote part of Neapolitan Italy, you might find that when durian is truly globalized. I think that's this very interesting discussion from Gary, I believe. He says that we should keep our durians local and not export them. But I think this is a tide that is too challenging to stop, because when you have mm-hmm. a product that is already liked by everybody elsewhere, at least even in the region, the prices would reflect that.
Yeah, and I don't see why we should just keep it here, right? In a way, it can become
pricing
it can be commoditized, and a lot of Malaysians can actually benefit. Why not start your durian plantation?
Well, hopefully,
and move upstream too, and consider
correct.
Products to be made.
Correct.
It's a whole industry.
So this is economics, right? Hopefully, the high prices of durians would drive more suppliers into the market and producing more durians for the benefit of us all.
All right. And thank you so much again for your messages. We've received lots of WhatsApps and tweets this morning. But unfortunately, it's time to go into the 7 o'clock news as well as the business hour of the morning run after this. So keep it here for that. But first, we have Coldplay with Don't Panic, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.